This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Tom Clark here with Family Doc Zorba Pastor. Zorba here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice and some great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question for Zorba, give us a call now at 1-800-462-7413. Along with your calls, Zorba, some interesting research to talk about?
Absolutely. We're going to talk about marriage, relationships, and heart attacks. Does a toxic relationship or good relationship protect you or make you more likely to get a heart attack? Interesting data on this.
What else?
Mini strokes. Now, what happens? Doctors don't necessarily give patients the optimal care quick enough, and as a result, it becomes a real stroke, which becomes a real problem, and we've got to do a better job. It's a big issue in America.
Important stuff. We have a recipe?
Yes, we have a topical recipe today. It is haunted peppers and pasta. Good for any Halloween or any time you want to celebrate Halloween in your life.
And I've taken an advanced look at your recipe, and we're not just talking pasta. We'll leave this up in the air, but I'm not sure I'm going to even be willing to taste this. That's coming up. We have our medical myth buster. Are you concerned about food poisoning? Well, stick around. That's our myth buster coming up later on in the hour. 800-462-7413 is our toll-free number. Zorba, let's see if we can help a listener now in Appleton, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. How can we help you?
I have adult onset acne. I'm wondering if it could be because of my boyfriend's 3 to 4 day growth on his face. It happened around the same time that we started dating.
Oh, so you and your boyfriend started dating and now you're getting acne and you think it's because of his beard?
I think it's because of his beard, yeah. I'm wondering if, you know, if he shaved regularly, if that maybe he wouldn't be irritating my skin.
He obviously has, I'm assuming, a heavy beard, not a full beard, but you think maybe he doesn't shave enough. Is that right?
He grows it out on purpose for 3 or 4 days.
Oh, because he's one of these cool cats.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, I get it.
So funny. Adam, our producer, is pointing to his face right now going, ah, look at my face. Look at my face. It's the same.
Well, I hope he doesn't look like Adam. For your sake, I mean. Anyway, you wonder if that's causing the acne. What about it, Zorba?
Well, now, there's acne and there's irritation. So there's acne and there's irritation. Now, have you had acne? In other words, you just developed this recently, and how about with your last boyfriend?
I've never dated a guy with the beard.
And you've never had trouble with this before, right?
Nope, I got diagnosed with acne vulgaris, kind of a severe inflammatory type of it, really aggressive treatment of, you know, antibiotic and topical vanoxide creams. And my boyfriend moved a couple of hours away, and we saw each other less frequently over the last year. But whenever we spend the weekend together, I break out again.
Well, it's a clear choice in my mind. It's either the boyfriend or the acne. That's it. Toss the boyfriend.
No.
You'll get rid of the acne. It's very simple.
I want this. I want the acne to be gone, and I want to keep them.
You want the acne to be gone, and you want to keep
them. You want it all.
Yeah. I want it all.
That's exactly it. Well, I do have a couple of suggestions. Now, when you don't see him in between, you're not having many issues, right?
Right.
Okay. When you see him the day before, 2 days before, you've got to do more. That's what you basically do. You have to prepare yourself for the onslaught of the beard that occurs during the intimacy that you share. This is public radio. We do not use the word sex on public radio. We use the word intimacy. But as you have relations with said person, you want to make sure that you pre-take care of the fact that you're going to have some acne issues. So, A, the benzoyl peroxide I would use is a prescription type called Brevoxyl, B-R-E-V-O-X-Y-L, or better than that, I would use Benzaclin, which is a combination of benzoyl peroxide and a topical antibiotic. And that's one of several different combinations. There are a couple of combinations. And I would get that from your doctor. And I do that a day or two before. And I would do it during the time you're there and a day or two later. And then how often are you taking your antibiotic? Once a day?
I take it twice a day.
Twice a day.
In the morning and
okay.
at night.
Okay. You may, if the topical itself doesn't work, I would double the antibiotic also, and I would start 1 or 2 days before. And that's what I would do. I would just say, hey, the beard bothers me.
I would
just increase.
I never would argue with you on medical things, Zorba, but here's the question. What kind of a guy who's supposedly in love would refuse to shave if his the love of his life is getting some kind of negative reaction to his beard?
Well, he's not on the show, Tom. We can't ask him,
but
let's
no,
ask her.
Have you talked with him about this?
Sure.
And what does he say?
He thinks that it's nutritional. He says I just eat more junk food when I'm with him.
Well, now you've heard Zorba.
Wait a minute. I've got the answer. Yeah. No sex.
Okay.
Oh, I said the word.
No. It's just snuggling. That's all it's from.
Uh-huh.
Well, make him shave. Just say, hey, come on.
Should I shave him in his sleep? Is that it?
Adam, if your girlfriend said, this is really bothering me, you'd shave that beard in a second.
Absolutely.
Adam is a good guy.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend, thumbs down. Zorba was right in the first place.
Toss the guy. Good luck. And thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Love your show.
Thanks. We appreciate the call. 800-462-7413. Well, what about this research, Zorba? Bad marriage or bad relationship, bad heart?
Well, this is important, interesting research. And this really goes along, as you know, a few years ago, I wrote a book called The Longevity Code, Your Personal Prescription for a Longer, Sweeter Life. And I was looking at things that affect longevity and discovered that social relationships affect longevity, spiritual relationships, whether or not you have that reserve in your body, if you will, for life's onslaughts will make an issue. And this looks at one specific issue with this. It looks at bad relationships. And they found out that people who live with one another who have a bad relationship, and we can measure these through psychosocial measures, were 34% more likely to have a heart attack over a 12-year period.
34%.
One-third more likely to have a significant coronary event, have a heart attack or a pre-heart attack that would require stenting or bypass surgery. And this was irrespective of whether or not they had depression. In other words, if they had depression and they had a bad relationship, 34% higher. They didn't have depression and they had a bad relationship, 34% higher. So we're not looking at the depression issue. We're not looking at the anger issue. We're looking at the relationship issue. Toxic relationships are toxic.
So probably a good idea if you're in a bad relationship to at least consider
getting out. You bet. The issue is that, and this is where the final common pathway occurs, it is the flight or fright response. You know, the adrenal response, flight or fright, was a bear is chasing me, I got to get out of here. So what happens during that when we shoot adrenaline through our body? Blood pressure goes up suddenly, not good for the heart, not good for the brain. Blood is more likely to clot, it turns out, when we have this flight or fight response. And we're more likely to go into what's called ventricular fibrillation. That's what we get countershock for. Now, you have a bad relationship, you're angry with the person you're living with, you shoot that adrenaline and these other inflammatory molecules throughout your body throughout the day, you're more likely to have a heart attack.
This is both men and women?
Yes, absolutely. It's a big issue.
Then you're really doing both of you a favor if you don't continue this.
Right. No, it's
you're
it's
protecting
an issue. It's
yourselves.
An issue.
You're protecting.
It's an issue.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about this is when we're doctors, we don't sample this. We come in, we go, hey, Mrs. Jones, Mr. Smith, your blood pressure's okay, your cholesterol's okay, your urine looks fine. We don't say, how's your relationship at home? If we do, it's a very superficial statement. How are things going when they come in? That's not it. We don't give them a questionnaire to see if they're in a toxic relationship. And more importantly, we don't say you need counseling or maybe you need to get out of it. So in other words, we're missing a big portion. 34% over a 12-year period, this is major.
800-462-7413. To a listener now in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi.
Hi there.
What's up?
Well, I have a 14-month-old son who I am still nursing. And a couple weeks ago, I got a bug bite I couldn't identify. And around that same time, he seemed to be having clogged nose, sneezing, a tiny bit of a cough, things like that. And I was just wondering, so many things pass through the mama's milk. I have to watch what I eat. I have to watch the medications that I take. That I was curious if he could have an allergic reaction if I got bit by something.
Good question. Good question. Because we know, for instance, if you consume drugs, your child gets some drugs. There's a recent article that showed that moms who consumed hydrocodone or codeine because of pain when they first delivered a baby, they might be in pain for the next month or two, that that can be measured not only in the mother's milk, but it can be measured in the baby's body. So we know that, for instance. We know that that food can alter the milk. Is that your baby in the background?
Yes.
And what's the name?
Oh, he's Ellis.
Ellis. So what is Ellis doing?
He is investigating and kicking the blocks around.
Ah, very important. If he investigates and he kicks those blocks properly, he can become a builder. He too. And by that time, the construction industry is going to be in good shape. Good shape with that. But the answer to this for the bug bite point of view is no.
Okay.
No. What's going to happen is you get bit by a bug, you develop an allergic response, but there's no venom in your body. There's nothing that's going to go through the milk. You're just having a response, and it's a local response to it.
Okay.
Now, if you got bit by a snake and had a toxic relationship, that's a different issue.
Really?
But for a bug bite, yeah, because what happens is snake venom may go through the body, and that could possibly go through the mother's milk. As infinitesimally small. He's saying something to us. You know what he's saying?
Yes.
I can hear. He is saying, I want to be on. I love public radio. That's what he's saying.
He does love public radio. It's true.
You see.
He does.
You see.
He knows none else.
And you've got a smart boy.
Thank you. I think so, too. He said, Mom, I could have told you. It's not the bug bite.
Well, thank you so much for your call.
We appreciate your help.
Thanks a lot. 800-462-7413. To Norman, Oklahoma we go. Hello.
Hi, Dr. Zorba and Tom.
How can we help?
Well, I am the mother of three grown children, and I have three grandchildren, the youngest of which is a month old.
Mm-hmm.
He's a breastfed baby. I feel like I have a little experience in the area, but up until my grandson, I have not had to deal with a colicky baby. His parents and I finally gave up and said, we're no longer in denial. We admit he's a colicky baby. We've searched the internet, and I'd just like to hear if Dr. Zorba has any suggestions.
How old's the baby?
Just over a month.
Just over a month. We don't know. We do not know scientifically what colic is. We don't know. We know it's more common in first babies. We know it's less common by the third or fourth baby. We don't know if it's a feeding issue. We don't know if it's a mom issue. We know it's common in breastfed and bottle-fed babies, and there are a bunch of issues. We also give medications that, for the most part, don't do anything at all. We give stuff to supposedly reduce the size of the bubbles in the stomach, and we burp more frequently. We also know it goes away. And we know that it goes away usually by month two or month three after everyone is pulling out their hair enough and they go, oh, my God, they're actually not as colicky. And then you go to the internet and you will find 10 million sites, right, on colic. You find the mother's sites on colic and Julia's site on colic. And then you found things I'm sure that you could purchase, right, that would take care of the, you know, purchase this for $20 a week and it'll get rid of the colic. And you found sounds to get rid of colic. And generally, when we don't have a cure for something, there are 10 million sites. You know, you don't see 10 million sites for appendicitis, right? You see 10 million sites for colic. The best advice I give for colic is to go the natural way. Burping the baby more, walking the baby more, putting the baby in the swing, all the stuff that you did as a mom that you may have known. Like you said, you didn't have colicky babies. I don't know why. I don't know why your baby wasn't colic and this is your daughter's baby?
Yes.
You know why your daughter's baby is colicky. And go through that and stay away from any drugs that anyone wants to give. Now, when I first started practice, I practiced with old Dr. Kellogg, who is still alive. He's now kind of ancient, Dr. Kellogg. Went through World War I and the Korean War. And I'll tell you what he used to give babies. babies, and it worked.
He didn't go through World War
I. World War II, I'm sorry. Yeah. He seemed like World War
I.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, when I first started with him, I thought it was World War I. But he, I'll tell you what he used to give, and it worked very effectively, and I would highly not recommend it. He gave phenobarbital. You would give 10 to 20 drops of phenobarbital, and basically put the babies to sleep phenobarbital. And it was highly effective for colic. It worked really well. And then if the mother didn't want phenobarbital, he gave a drug called Donatol. And one of the things in Donatol was phenobarbital. And phenobarbital was kind of the drug that we used before we had Valium, you know, before we had Xanax. So what happened is the baby slept more. They didn't do it. And I don't think that's a good idea at all. You know, we don't want to alter a baby's consciousness for something like this. So the natural route, the websites I would go to are good websites. La Leche League has a lot of good information. That's where I would go. There's a local La Leche League, which is a support league for your daughter. That's the way I would go. No drugs.
Good idea. I'll try that one next. And I remember the days of Donatol and thankfully didn't give it to my children.
Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call.
Thank you very much, Dr. Zorba. I listen to you every week.
Thanks so much. 800-462-7413. Speaking of babies, Zorba, let's take a question from the Zorba Pastor on your health inbox. This one comes to us from Sheila in, are you ready, Toulouse, France. Sheila is a transplant from Wisconsin and a web listener. She writes, I'm expecting my third child, and I need your help to solve a puzzle regarding the due date. My French doctor told me that pregnancies in France are 41 weeks instead of 40. I know that the French do a lot of things differently, but the duration of pregnancy? I need to know the real due date so that Grandma can get her plane tickets. Please help. Merci beaucoup.
The due date is exactly the same. It's just how they may calculate it. It is, you know, I believe it's 270 days is the date that we actually go forward for. And I don't remember. I believe it's 270. There's a little circle that you use here. You take your last menstrual period based on whether or not you ovulate on the second week, which is the most common time, and then you calculate it forward. So it's the same. Now, the French may calculate it differently, so that maybe 41 weeks from the day that they are calling it. In other words, not from your last menstrual period. So they may have a different time that they're actually calculating it. Also, 41 weeks may be because most babies occur from week 40 to week 41, then from week 39 to week 40. So the French may say, we're not going to be worried. We're calling it week 41. And they may have babies that come a little bit early. Right? Between 40 and 41. And we have babies that come a little bit late. And that is the French way of looking at it. The baby came a little early, and we look at it as the baby came a little late. So we get anxious because we're Americans. The baby is coming a little bit late. And the French are saying, oh, the baby came a little bit early. We don't have to worry.
Is that an attempt at a French accent?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I
changed my tempo. I changed my
tempo. In any case, get your plane ticket. But better make it a long stay because it's not all that dependable anyway.
Not at all. Week 39 to week 41, that's where mom stays. Remember, she needs separate quarters and then she'll be anxious, or maybe she won't.
Well, it doesn't matter if you're in France or the U.S. We take just as long to answer your questions. So send them along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
Guess what we have coming up for you? Our recipe for
wonderful, fabulous, incredible, haunted peppers and pasta.
Well, just don't take that pasta for granted. Beware, beware, beware of this recipe coming up next here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRI Public Radio International. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Again, that toll-free number, 800-462-7413. Back to your calls after our recipe, which is coming up now in Zorba. We are staring at haunted peppers and pasta, and I am scared of this recipe. And we'll find out why as we go along. Let's do it.
So I have, before we do it, this is made with squid ink pasta. But in this case...
So this black stuff that looks like pasta that I'm looking at on the plate came from a squid?
That's right. The ink.
And I'm expected to actually eat this stuff?
But what I learned was that when you use it in small amounts, it's like eating a bowl of ketchup. You'd never eat a bowl of ketchup.
This isn't small amounts. This is a whole plate of this stuff.
It is an absolutely delicious, wonderful dish that makes you feel really, really good. So... Mm-hmm. Haunted peppers and pasta, good for anyone who wants to celebrate Halloween any time of the year.
Boo.
It is boo. Start out with 2 tablespoonfuls of olive oil.
2 big tea olive oil.
Always extra virgin, always tastes the best. 4 cloves of garlic.
4 cloves of garlic.
Minced.
Minced.
If you love garlic like I do, you may double it or triple it. But remember, you will smell through the entire day.
I think I'll quadruple it and leave out this black
no,
stuff.
No, no, no. The black stuff is good.
All right.
1/4 teaspoon of dried hot pepper flakes.
1/4 little tea dried hot red pepper flakes.
Yeah, you know the stuff that you use on pizza. If you don't want it hot, leave out the hot pepper flakes. I love hot food. Mm-hmm. I know you love hot food, too.
Yeah.
Okay, 2 medium orange bell peppers. This is the expensive part. Cut into thin strips. Very important for color.
2 medium orange bell peppers cut into thin strips.
That's right. And 1 medium red bell pepper cut into thin strips, too.
A medium red bell pepper cut into thin strips.
Right. And so if you use green, it's going to look okay, but it's not going to look like Halloween. Mm-hmm. You need the orange.
Okay.
3/4 of a cup of dry white wine.
3/4 of a cup of dry white wine.
And as you know, Tom, because you have your larder stuffed with this, I know that back in the back when you cook, because you are a nighttime cooker. Nobody knows the delicious gourmet food that you cook from midnight to 7. I use vermouth.
Yeah.
Cheap, inexpensive vermouth. It's Gallo vermouth. It's about $3 or $4 a bottle, and I use it because it's great in any white wine recipe, and it doesn't go sour. It's great to use. 1/2 cup of low-sodium chicken broth.
1/2 cup of low-sodium chicken broth.
Right. I like the flavor of it. For you vegetarians out there, you can use 1/2 cup of low-sodium veggie broth, and you can also use water, but I think the broth is better.
Okay.
Okay, now here's the part. 1/2 pound of black squid ink pasta of your choice. So you can use the bow ties or you can use the Alfredo strips. I know that you like to have a wider pasta. You are smiling. What are you smiling about?
The pasta's all right, but the squid ink part.
It's very interesting. Now, if you cannot get it at your local Italian grocery store, you can go online. If you Google squid ink pasta, you'll find it. Well, you can get it in the mail, and it's a very interesting taste.
Just
texture.
So I'm clear, is this regular pasta with squid ink in it?
Used to make it. That's exactly.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a bowl. It's basically
this is
used
not,
within
this,
it.
These pieces are not all out of squid. It's
no,
regular pasta that has squid ink on it.
We are not eating calamari. Okay. You are eating squid ink, using the pasta. And as I said, you don't want the bowl. You just want it for taste. Mm-hmm. That's very good. And 1/3 cup of finely chopped parsley.
1/3 cup of finely chopped parsley.
Now, I want to talk about parsley. Parsley is a green that we often don't use. You can buy Italian parsley, which is a flat leaf, very, very good. Regular parsley, pretty much in any store. It has a wonderful smell to it. You want to chop up the parsley a little bit before so it doesn't lose its wilting kind of a smell to it.
Well, I got to tell you, when I get a dish of some sort at the restaurant and they have a little bit of parsley on there, I like that.
You like the parsley.
I like it.
In fact,
I save it and I use it at the end because it kind of freshens
it. It does have a very nice fresh taste.
Yes.
And if you chop it up and use it at the very end, it has a wonderful aroma to it. You want to use that. So let's make the pasta before you get the pleasure of tasting the pasta. Now, it's very interesting. There's some dishes that before I'm even finished with reading the ingredients, you are stuffing it into your mouth. But this one, you're just sort of sitting back slightly. And
I'm trying to be much more polite.
That's right. It is the politeness. So for that, I must congratulate you.
Yes.
So. Let us make it. Yeah. In a medium pot, boil enough water for the pasta. That means a lot of water for the pasta. And put a little salt in it. I always salt the water before I put it in. And to make it so it doesn't stick, I always put a little olive oil in too. In a heavy skillet, heat the olive oil for the recipe. Add the garlic and red pepper flakes. And stir it until the garlic is golden brown. That's over medium heat, probably about a minute or two. Then add the orange and red bell peppers. Then taste it. Add a little salt and pepper to taste. I always like to use sea salt in a recipe like this or kosher salt. Stir in until the peppers soften. Then add the wine. Boil. Continue to stir until the liquid has evaporated. So you're getting rid of the alcohol in there. You're keeping the taste. Then add the chicken, veggie, or water to that. Cover and simmer until the peppers are tender, about another 5 minutes. Now, in separate boiling water, cook the desired wonderful black pasta al dente. How do you know al dente? Read the instructions on the recipe and turn on the timer. That's how you know. Because the fact is, throwing it on the ceiling is not the way to do it like you did it in college. But if you read the instructions on every pasta, they pretty much tell you how long it is. Because some pasta is 4 to 5 minutes for al dente and some is 7 to 8. And frankly, since I have started using a timer, my pasta is much, much better. And if you don't have a timer, buy one. Add the pasta to the pepper mix. Toss it with the parsley. Remember, at the end, you toss it. Put a little bit on top, a little salt and pepper. Keep the entire mixture nice and heated until the desired thickness of the sauce is there because it's mixing together, and then bon appetit. Mm-hmm. So would you like to be the first one to try this?
Après vous, mon ami.
Après vous. You're giving it to me. This is so... it's delicious. You won't believe how good it is. The squid ink pasta... Wait a second. You ate the pepper. You haven't tried the pasta. You will be shocked at this pasta. Come on. You can. It's not tofu, Tom. It's black ink pasta.
We're happy to send you this recipe.
He's not going to try it.
Just address
this
your request.
This is so good. I have to tell you, the squid ink pasta is really good. Remember when spinach pasta first came out and people weren't eating it because it was green? This is one step better.
Squid is not spinach. We're happy to send you this recipe. Address your request to Zorba Pastor on Your Health, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, zip 53706.
Or come to our website at zorbapastor.org. You can get this recipe and all of our wonderful recipes, and you can sign up for our podcast.
A broomstick you can crawl on. We're gonna pay a call on the Addams Family.
800-462-7413, our toll-free number, 1-800-462-7413. Zorba, let's see if we can help a listener now in Boise, Idaho. Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
I eat healthy most of the time. I do my best. I'm a student in Boise, so I try hard, to eat healthy in the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But sometimes I'll have, the time where I want to go out and get fish and chips and a beer or pizza and or a burger or something like that. And every time I do, I have this swelling, almost an inflammation in my sinus area and all through my eyes, like a glazing over and almost like just a nauseousness almost.
Well, Zorba is here to tell you, you can't eat any of those foods anymore.
That's right.
Oh, stop eating all of that good-tasting stuff.
Well, then that would be a problem because obviously I occasionally obviously binge eat like everybody else. Well, maybe not everybody else, but most of us binge eat with things like that. Very interesting. So your sinuses kind of feel full and your nose gets stuffy. Tell me a little bit more about this.
Growing up as a kid, I always ate one piece of pizza or two pieces of pizza because I got this feeling in my nose. It was just almost like a tightness. Not necessarily terribly uncomfortable, but enough to stop eating. And so I never was able to fully binge and go for the fish and chips right afterwards.
Well, there's some very interesting issues here. First of all, you've noticed something right there. You've noticed it's the quantity of food that you are binging and putting into your mouth that may be of issue. And clearly, there's something in the food that is setting up a response. And we have a name for that. It's called a vasomotor response. Big fancy name. Mm-hmm. And vasomotor means an overreaction from the nose and the mucous membranes. And it can lead to sweating. It can lead to nasal discharge. Some people cry. They don't actually cry, but they look like they're crying because they can have tears in their eyes. Many of us get it when we eat very, very hot, spicy food. And the answer is a couple of things. First of all, try to find out if it's a specific fish and chips or a specific pizza that's doing it, because lots of fish and chips and lots of pizza has in it, bum, ba-da-dum, MSG. We associate MSG with Chinese food.
Asian food.
Have you heard of MSG? You've heard of MSG?
Yes, and I think that's what it is, because every time I don't eat Chinese food anymore. First of all, it's not very healthy, and second of all, I always got that feeling. And so I thought, well, maybe it's an MSG, and then I'd go to places that are like an all-natural burger joint, which, you know, is not healthy, but they don't use any of the MSG and stuff. And I'd still get it somewhat, but nothing like with Chinese or with the other, like, fast food places or whatever.
And by the way, I want to compliment you for something you just said. Chinese food isn't all that healthy. You're right. Some Chinese food is healthy. A lot of Chinese food is not healthy. You go to any particular calorie counter and you look at the fat and carbohydrates in Chinese food, and some of it is good, but some of it is laden with fats and oils that we don't need. The reason why the Chinese often are not as heavy as we are is they often just eat less of it, and they're accompanying that with either rice, good rice, which would be brown
rice. But there's MSG and all these other foods, too?
MSG is a very, very cheap, inexpensive additive. Go to the store. Go to the section where they have prepared meals. Look at the prepared meals like Weight Watchers or Lean Cuisine. Any of them. Look at the back of them. Sometimes they'll list MSG. Sometimes they don't. It is a cheap, inexpensive spice that often adds flavor to food that is not flavorful. And so it's commonly put because it attracts you. You like it. You eat it. What you've noticed is that you eat a lot of it, and basically you are getting, my guess, an MSG response. So
Look
at the food, find out what pizza place, what fish and chips place may be better, and you know what? If it's an individual shop, say, what do you put in this? They may know, they may not know. You know, they may just go, well, we put in the spice kit. Well, forget that. That means that they don't know what's in it, and the chances are MSG is listed. So the fact is, choose your pizza place, choose your fish place, decrease the amount that you eat, and you may be able to enjoy it. And remember, you can't just eat the cardboard diet. Sometimes you've got to go out and enjoy the fat.
Well, that is great. So I guess I'll just give up on Chinese food.
Well, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot. 800-462-7413. And Zorba, while we're on the topic of sinus pressure, here's a question from Steve in Boise, Idaho. Steve asks, hey, Tom and Zorba, is there any evidence that holding sneezes in increases pressure in your sinuses and is bad for you?
So I think he's talking about holding your nose. You're getting ready to sneeze, and then all of a sudden you sneeze and you don't let it out.
You don't do a chew.
You don't do a chew so that you're all over the, you know, if you don't have any Kleenex, like little kids, you're all over the space.
Yeah.
Well, this is something that strikes home because two of my kids do that. My wife, Penny, does that. And I remember when I first met her, I thought, my gosh, how can you not let this sneeze out? So you got to look at a couple of different things. First of all, sometimes we're sneezing because we have a cold.
Yeah.
Right? We've got mucus. We've got mucus in our nose. Our body is trying to rid itself of some of the mucus so we can breathe better. That's the kind of sneeze you really want to get out. Pull out a handkerchief or a piece of Kleenex, and you want to blow it out because you want to clear your nose. But then you've got the other sneeze, the sneeze when you look up into the sun sometimes and you sneeze. It's a reflex.
Yeah.
Or you're around hot, spicy food, pepper, other things. You want to sneeze. Holding a sneeze like that in so that you don't blow it out and you don't disturb and get your mucus all over your area is just fine. But in either case, you are not doing yourself any harm by holding that sneeze in. It's okay, but it may look a little goofy.
Yep, to me too, Zorba. Well, don't hold your questions or comments in. That's bad for you. Send them to us at
Zorba@WPR.org.
That 800 number is 800-462-7413. Question for Zorba? Give us a call. A listener now, Zorba, in Wentzville, Missouri. Hi.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Zorba. Thank you for taking my call.
We appreciate the call. How can we help?
Well, I turned 50 this last summer.
Oh, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. And to commemorate this milestone, I had a physical,
mm-hmm.
and something I haven't had done in about 2.5 years. And let me tell you, I've had better birthdays. Starting with the good news, my LDL was fabulous. It was 81. The not-so-good news was my HDL, and that was 26. And my doc said doesn't like to see anything below 40. So no problem, he says. 500 milligrams of time-release niacin, and you'll be right as rain in no time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like this idea because niacin is a B vitamin with a lot of benefits, and at this dosage, it really doesn't have a lot of side effects to worry about that. And besides, it's cheap, and so I really like that course of action. But now to the bad news, though, was my blood sugar level. And the hemoglobin A1C test, for that, my doc doesn't like to see anything higher than 6%, and I came in at 6.8. To treat this, he put me on a medication called metformin. But like so many drugs, it can have side effects that range from mildly annoying, you know, like your kid's on allowance day, to fatal. And although actually I've been tolerating it fairly well. But then my wife showed me an article in one of her magazines that talked about cinnamon and how it is believed to have properties that can be beneficial to people with blood sugar management issues. And since I'm apparently in this for the long haul, the notion of managing my blood sugar with cinnamon as opposed to a prescription drug is very appealing to me.
Well, let me jump in and
sure.
give you some advice. First of all, we've got to talk about a few things. The HDL cholesterol, which is the good cholesterol, is low. When you use niacin in large amounts, you are not using it as a vitamin. You are using it as a drug. And you said, I like it because it's a vitamin and it doesn't have side effects. As a drug, it has side effects. And if you look it up as a drug, you Google niacin side effects, you go to the Mayo Clinic website or another good website, and you will find out it does have side effects and it does have issues. So don't think that it's benign. It's not. And a lot of people don't tolerate it. And the real issue with niacin is it does elevate HDL. It's become a little bit more popular in the last 5 years, but it does have side effects, so it's not benign. So that's really important. You're using a drug when you use it in that amount. When you use 5 milligrams a day or 10 milligrams a day, it's as a vitamin. It has as many side effects as many ways as metformin. So one is not pristine, niacin, and one is not bad, metformin. Now, managing blood sugar, the best way to manage blood sugar if you're going to do it naturally is exercise more, eat less. What's your height? What's your weight?
5'11", okay. And... 275?
275. You're too heavy. That's the answer. You want to lose it, forget the cinnamon. Don't spend the money on the cinnamon. It's great in a drink. You know, cinnamon on there in a drink is wonderful. It's wonderful on cookies. It's great with a little sugar on toast. You know, lose 30 pounds, 40 pounds, maybe even 10 pounds. You may not need any drug. That's what it is. The issue with diabetes is weight. That's the number one issue. And exercise. Exercise moves the sugar into the cells, fewer calories, moves the calories out of our body so that we actually metabolize them more. Stay away from that. Now, metformin is a great drug. It's not for everybody, but it turns out really to be the initial drug of choice for diabetics who need a drug. We used to use other drugs called sulfonylureas, big fancy names, gliburide being the most common. We use them. They stimulate the pancreas to produce more insulin, but the problem with diabetics is they have adult onset is that they have insulin resistance. So what we really want to do is reduce that resistance with less food, more exercise, and if you need the metformin. So shed 10 or 20 pounds. It takes work. You may be able to get off of it, and don't think of niacin as pristine. It ain't.
Well, that's certainly an eye-opener. So in other words, I'm too short.
Great. Thanks a lot for the
call. Well, very good. Thank you, doctor.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
800-462-7413. Don't forget, we have our medical myth buster coming up, food poisoning. Zorba will either prove or bust a myth on food poisoning. We have more research, more of your calls, too, here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Great to have you along. That number again is 800-462-7413. Zorba, a study on mini strokes and treating them right. Tell us about it.
And the first comment is that a stroke and the treatment of stroke, the prevention of stroke, has been one of the great successes in medicine over the last three decades. Back when I started medical school, compared to now, the reduction in the stroke rate is roughly, we've reduced it by more than 50%, 60% fewer strokes today than there were in the early 70s.
The bad news is
we're not doing enough at the right time. Now, so let's talk about a mini stroke. What happens is you call up the doctor, maybe you go to the emergency room, and you have stroke-like symptoms where you may not be able to talk, you may not be able to move your arm, you may have other problems that we now know are called mini-strokes, and then they reverse. Sometimes they're called TIAs, transient ischemic attacks, so they may not end up with anything residual, or they may be with something that's a little residual. Now, what's the treatment for them? Well, the treatment is number one, is the person on aspirin, okay? If they're not on aspirin, that's treatment number one. 81 milligrams, some people say 325 milligrams, very important. Number two, if they're on aspirin and they have it, they need another drug called Plavix. Once again, very important, easy, not inexpensive, but a very, very good drug to use. Then number three, blood pressure should be under perfect control. Let's say the pressure is 140 over 90. It's too high. Mm-hmm. You want to get it closer to 120 over 80. The closer you get to 120 over 80 without symptoms, the better off you are. And then finally, cholesterol. Is there cholesterol under control? Now, if you jump in on these things right away, blood pressure, making sure they're on aspirin, maybe the drug Plavix, check their cholesterol right away, all those things will reduce the chances they will have the big one, the big stroke. And it turns out that there are many, many patients who do not get that absolutely quick. We're talking about the next day or a week later in the doctor's office. They don't get treated in a timely fashion. And these are not heavy-duty drugs. These are drugs that are easily available.
Yeah, well, why aren't they getting treated right?
Well, they're not treated right because it's simply not coming up to the doctor's consciousness. And what happens is this. They went to the emergency room. They were fine. The ER said, well, we want you to see your doctor for follow-up. They call the office. Receptionist says, I'll give you an appointment in a few weeks. That's one way. They don't necessarily have the doctor sit there and say, oh, you have a mini stroke. You need A, B, and C. So part of it is a receptionist issue. Part of it is a doctor issue. Part of it is a patient issue. The public has to be educated. If you have a mini stroke, it means immediately that you need to see, obviously, an emergency room, but you need to see a doctor for follow-up right away and get good treatment.
800-462-7413 is our toll-free number. And Zorba, a listener with us now in El Paso, Texas. Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I listen to your show often because I like some of the holistic advice that you give. And I was trying to cut down on the amount of pills that I was taking, and I have sinus problems all the time. So I bought a product that you had recommended called Sinucleanse.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It's like, I don't remember the name of it, but you clean your nose by flushing water through it.
You clean your nose by flushing a saline solution through it. Pouring.
Right.
Pouring. Flushing has this connotation that I don't like.
Shooting it up your nose.
Pouring. Although there are other instruments which do use a little pressure, but mild pressure to get the water into one nostril, sort of out of the other, and cleanse the back of the nose. Right.
Right. Okay. So this one, you just, it looks like a gravy boat, and you put the little opening at your nose, and you tilt your head, and it's sort of, you can feel it, like, fill your sinus cavity. You can even feel it a little bit in your ear.
Yes.
And then eventually, it'll start draining out of the other side of your nose.
Correct.
So on one side of my nose, it's fine. It does this draining, and then you blow and you clean everything out. The other side, I can feel it fill, so I know my head is, you know, the right way, and I can feel the pressure, but then nothing comes out, or sometimes very little drops of water will come out.
Okay. So you want to know what's going on.
Right.
Because you are asymmetrical, right? You are asymmetrical. That's your problem.
Right.
You need to go to an asymmetrical fixer. No, there are a lot of things that can be it. First of all, you could have polyps in one nose. A polyp is a little kind of growth that looks like a little balloon, and that could keep the fluid from going through. So polyp is a possibility. The other possibility is you may have swelling of the mucous membranes in the back of the nose, and you need to have a steroid spray in order to reduce that. But far from that, is this working for you the way you're doing it?
Well, I've done it for almost a year.
Okay.
You talked about it a long time ago. And, I used to have sinus infections like every 3 months, and I haven't had one.
So you're doing a good job. You know, you're washing enough with the back of the nose to do it, but a polyp, a little growth of a polyp will keep it from going back there. A doctor can look in the back of the nose and look at that and see
what
that is.
You would think, though, that if it went through one way, that it would go through the other way.
Necessary. The polyps move. And so they can move and almost be a valve in a valve-like way. And so when you're pushing it one way, the polyp may obstruct the nose, and the other way it pushes off to the side. Because it's called a pedunculated polyp. So they're often on little stalks, and so they move around. So one way closes it, one way. You've got a one-way valve polyp is what you have. On the other hand, you don't have as many sinus infections, so you're accomplishing what we really want to accomplish, which is to wash the mucus out of the back of the nose. So keep up the good work. I would make no changes. A doctor can usually see a polyp. An ENT doc can see it with a special instrument, but most family physicians can see it if they look up the back of the nose with a little speculum and see the polyp. I wouldn't make a special visit, but next time you go in, you may want to mention it.
Okay. Well,
thanks for the call.
Thank you very much for your help.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
800-462-7413. Zorba, time for our medical myth buster. Today's myth deals with food poisoning. There is a thought that if you drink alcohol with your meal, that you can fend off food poisoning.
That's right. There is a thought. That is the myth. And the myth turns out to be true.
True? I would have guessed false.
True. If you are drinking enough alcohol, it's got to be a lot of alcohol. We're not talking about the drink. We're talking about the drunk that actually produces it.
Go away.
And it's very, very interesting, but it's not an old wives' tale. It's also a new tale. And I'll tell you where the data seems to come from that shows this may be the case. In Spain, there was an outbreak of salmonella among people who basically ate contaminated potato salad with mayonnaise made with egg yolk and tuna at a large banquet. And what they discovered was that people who had drank a lot of alcohol, in other words, they didn't have a glass of wine. They had several glasses of wine and maybe several glasses of whiskey, did not have the same rate of salmonella of those who didn't. Then they looked back in the data, these researchers, and found out that in 1992, similar thing happened with an outbreak of hepatitis A among oyster sea fish. So, you know, oysters, you eat them raw, they can have hepatitis A. And those who drank a shot or two of alcohol, maybe a little vodka, a little whiskey, appear to have a 10 to 20% lower rate of getting hepatitis A. So the answer is get drunk before your meal,
I guess,
and you won't be poisoned.
Yeah.
So. That's the answer. So you think it's a good treatment?
Well, I mean, it's a little perplexing. Obviously, you aren't going to get drunk with every meal, but one would think there would be something you could do aside from getting drunk stay away from food
poisoning.
Well,
what you should do is don't eat tuna fish at an outdoor banquet or contaminated potato salad and you'll be fine. But if you happen to be drunk when you take that tuna fish, you'll be okay. This has no practical.
Yeah.
There's nothing practical about it. You're not going to get drunk before a meal with food poisoning. You should avoid the food. But this is a myth that is true.
Yeah. But once again, is not an encouragement to drink lots of booze.
I am not encouraging people to drink a lot of booze before the meal. Why? You think public radio people might do that?
Well, some small percentage could conceivably. In any case, if you have a myth you'd like Zorba to bust, just send it along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413, our toll-free number, 1-800-462-7413. A listener now, Zorba, in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Hi.
Hi.
How can we help?
Well, actually, my question is kind of related to your myth. It's about using a preventative measure, and I don't know if it's just anecdotal, but I want to tell you something that I've been doing, and it seems to be doing some good for me. I'm an actor and a singer, and in a show that I was in, we had a lot of young people, and they were constantly getting sick. We always had at least one kid who was sick. So I started using the waterless hand disinfectant wipe and started gargling a few times a day with just a mouthwash that said it killed germs and all that kind of stuff. And for about the last 2 years, I've done that, and I have not gotten any of my normal sore throats or colds. Can mouthwash as a gargle be a preventative measure from getting things through the air from people?
No, not at all. Not in the least. I mean, you can gargle all you want to. It tastes good, but it doesn't prevent you from getting it. Now, washing your hands, there's a function with that because we have viruses and bacteria on our hands. We touch things that may have a virus on it, and then we scratch our nose, which is the common way that we actually have viruses that enter our body. So washing your hands on a frequent basis can be very useful for helping to prevent upper respiratory infections. It doesn't come through the mouth. It tends to come through the nose. That's okay. Where we get it. So, and nobody gargles in their nose.
let me ask you, where's Pigeon Forge, Tennessee?
Well, it's at the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
A lot of acting gigs there at Pigeon Forge?
Actually, we've got a lot of great shows in the area, a lot of musical shows and dramatic shows. And I'm sure you've heard of Gatlinburg.
Oh,
sure. We're kind of the stepsister to Gatlinburg. It's just on your way into the Smokies.
Ah. So what kind of acting do you do?
Well, I sing, and I was in a great show called Fixin' to Rain recently, kind of a retelling of the Noah and the Ark story, and just all kinds of different roles down here, and I'm also in a murder mystery dinner show, and lots of different things down here. There's a great variety of things to see in Pigeon Forge.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for the call, and stay healthy.
I'll do it. Thank you.
Zorba, see you next week.
A pleasure, Tom.
If you missed anything during the show or want to download our recipe podcast, visit us on the web
at zorbapastor.org.
Don't forget you can bug our producer anytime at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's produced by Adam Friedrich. Our executive producer is Charles Monroe Kane. Brad Kohlberg is our technical director, and Gigi Holland fills your recipe requests. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Tom Clark, hoping you'll be with us for the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
National support for Zorba Pastor on Your Health comes from the AED Superstore, helping people save lives with Philips HeartStart automated external defibrillators for business, school, travel, and home. Available at AEDSuperstore.com. Copies of today's show are available through the radio store at 800-747-7444. Ask for program number 1018Z.
PRI, Public Radio International.